Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We're all bright and shiny this morning. I'm going to keep asking you. But, it's been good to worship together, and it doesn't seem a few minutes since we were together last night, some of us having a good time in Beetle Drive. Just want to say thank you to all those who organised, the kitchen team and everything else. And all you're thinking is, shut up, Sharon, tell us how much we raised. £560. So that's absolutely amazing, wonderful, thank you. And as I said, it is a charity that the denomination are running for 2 years. So if you haven't donated yet and you'd like to, please just give anything to Nigel. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, the display is on the board when we have coffee. So please have a look and see what the Hope for Children charity is doing in Latvia. And if you need any more information, then please speak to Tony or myself. So as I keep saying, we're going to be shining throughout January and February. Finding that, I'm going to go into hibernation until spring. But last week, if you remember, we were thinking about being in the midst of storms, but still God is there. And to realize the worth of an anchor, we have to walk through a storm. But as the famous song goes, we never walk alone. Today, another familiar verse to help us understand whom is walking with us. And it's good to read and to truly study God's word. By doing so, we're able to remember and draw upon familiar verses and passages at different and in difficult times, which brings us reassurance of God's presence with us. Psalm 118 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Let's join together and sing number 327, "Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise."
Thank you.
woke you all up, hasn't it? Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let's pray. And as we've sung those words, immortal, invisible, God only wise, we give thanks and praise to the one who is the constant in our lives. Holy God, we praise you as the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your yearning to shower blessings on your people has not changed. As you delivered the people of old from slavery, so you deliver us from whatever enslaves us. Through the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ, we give our thanks and praise. For he endured death so that he could nourish us with the sweetest gift of all, his life. Accept our praise and adoration, we pray, because, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus to worship and to praise you. Gracious God, you are a God of hospitality. There is none like you that invites all to come to you. You have invited all to your home, to your table, and to your arms. Lord, would that all that would hear and receive the good news. Lord, help us to remember that no one is better than anyone else in your kingdom. Help us to treat each other the way that you treat people. Generous God, because you treat us with your tender love, we take time to pray for our friends and family members and others who need you more than ever. Pour out your healing on all who need it. Be generous with your transforming love for those who need it in their lives. We'd ask that you would bring forth your reconciliation in families and in places where it is needed. Gifting God, you give us the gifts of the Spirit to use to further your kingdom and to be the body of Christ in the world. We take time to remember the people, Lord, who need those gifts, particularly, Lord, peace in their lives. Lord, as we think of recent situations, of the situation this morning, Lord, between Israel and Gaza, we pray, Lord, that that peace would hold, that hostages would be released, that the work of rebuilding would begin not just in the buildings, Lord, but in the people that have been wounded and damaged and lost loved ones and everything in that war. Lord, there are so many situations going on in our world that sometimes we do feel overwhelmed. But Lord, we thank you that we can bring each and every one to you in prayer at any time and in any place. We thank you, Lord, that as we think of things that perhaps we prayed for over the time, that we thank you for the restoration that has already taken place. Lord, sometimes we're so busy praying that we forget to say thank you. So, Lord, enable us and empower us to continue to be your hands and feet, to continue the work that needs to be done here and in so many other places. There is none like you, God, in your love and your generosity, your gifting and your hospitality. And we thank you that you are in our lives, working in us and through us, to let people know your kingdom is open to all. In the name of your Son, who opened the doors for all and broke down barriers that kept people from you, we offer our prayers in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so we'll continue our worship in praise as we sing number 799, All I Once Held Dear. So our reading this morning is taken from the book of Hebrews, which you'll find on page 1212. It's the last chapter, chapter 13 of Hebrews. 1212, testing, 1212. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but the writer gives extensive evidence in the previous chapters, in chapters 1 to 9, to support a central idea, which is kind of the way that Paul and other letter writers start their letters. This concept was that the new covenant in Jesus Christ is superior to the old covenant composed of the Levitical laws. As we get to chapters 10 and 12, he applied this knowledge to the need for the persecuted Christians, because that was predominantly who this writer was writing to maintain their faith. And as we arrive in chapter 13, the writer offers a few specific encouragements for the reader before signing off with a request for prayer and a benediction. So we're just going to look at a few verses, and starting at verse 5. And it says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?' Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen." If you notice those verses in verse 6, they were the verses I read from Psalm 118 earlier. If you read that, or if we read that in the message, it would say, "Jesus doesn't change." So there you go, sermon over. I can go home now. But the passage begins with a series of statements applying Christian principles to daily lives. They're transitions into a shorthand summary of the most of the letter's major points. So if you want homework, because I know you do, go home, read the letter to the Hebrews. The writer commends concepts such as love and commitment, grounded in the letter's prior themes. And he talks about the constancy of Christ. The common theme of the group is mostly actions or attitudes. And so we'll think about that after we now sing number 288. Jo's had a practice, so she's going to be great on this one, aren't you, Jo? "I need thee every hour."
Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord, as we come to hear your word to us, just come now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts and our minds to hear your word. May we not just hear you, but also be doers of your word. Amen. As we've been thinking over these last few weeks about shining like stars for Jesus in the world, and last week, what happens when we don't feel shiny? I think it all depends on the situations that we find ourselves in right in that moment. Life feels chaotic at the moment, doesn't it? Or is it just me? I said the other day, I said, I don't feel like I've arrived in 2025 yet. Or if I did, then January is a trial run. Let's go to February. But there's so much unrest and uncertainty, chaos in some quarters, which only goes to emphasize the point that life can be full of changes, sometimes for the better and sometimes not. Adjusting to life's curveballs, as they're called, can cause worry and anxiety. Life is unpredictable. Although it would be nice to go through life knowing what to expect, we know that it doesn't work that way. Things change, people change, places change, friends change, and careers change. But as we've just read, God never changes. I called this preach Never and Forever, because you know sometimes when you forget something, you're going to go, no, I never forget anything. I like words sometimes that I can hang something on. So if you don't remember anything I say this morning, just remember never and forever. Because obviously in verse 5, it says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And then as we get to verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So today's is called Never and Forever. Looking back over the years, we realise that morals have changed, society has changed, churches have changed, but God's word remains the same. In the book that I'm currently reading for pleasure and leisure, the lead character is a gifted pianist, and he talks about listening to the reassuring click of the metronome that plays in his head. And as the musicians listen to one another, this is in a little group, for the rhythm and inspiration. And it made me think about our passage today. Far more reliable than the constant pulse of the metronome that it is, as the writer of the Hebrews tells us, Jesus Christ is the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the constant pulse that we reassuringly sense when he comes and dwells in our hearts, and with whom we attempt to keep in time with. Our reading opened up with a message for us to trust in God's promises. Be content, he says, with what you have. This is supported and motivates us with a promise from Christ, for God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can say confidently, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? If we are confident in that, then the effect will be a deep contentment without the love of money or the desire for material things that the passage before has warned us about. Jesus' perfect, timeless nature would have been especially important to the early church, which was deeply divided by different approaches to many things. You would think, wouldn't you, not 30 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, that the church would be all sorted. Wrong. Church will always be at conflict with one thing and another until Jesus returns. It was far better the word tells us, for them to focus on the unchanging and gracious character of Christ instead. When life is unsettled, we can gain great comfort from the believer's affirmation that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the statement is also a severe reprimand to our tendency to try and adjust the words and character of Christ when we don't like what he says. How easy it is to forget that we can come to Christ longing for him to transform us and not the other way around. As believers, and concentrating as we are this morning on verse 8, how should we think and feel about changes and situations that we find ourselves in, both now and going forward? And so as I was thinking about this, I asked, and I'm going to ask, two questions, and hopefully we'll get some answers as we go through. So in what way is Jesus always the same? And what is the significance about those three time periods? Yesterday, today, and forever. So what ways is Jesus always the same? Does it mean that Jesus can't respond with joy over a situation one day and then grieve over it the next? Would that contradict the statement that Jesus is the same? To answer the question, we can turn to earlier in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 1, where Jesus Christ is said to be the same in relation to something that changes. If we look from verse 8, the first part of it says, "But the Son, God says, your throne, O God, endures forever and ever." And chapter 1, 10 to 12. "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you will remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will fold them up like a cloak and discard them like old clothing. But you are always the same. You will live forever." And we see in those few verses at the beginning, very beginning of this letter to the Hebrews, emphasizing Jesus' role in creation, because Jesus was there in the beginning, and his timelessness. The writer to the Hebrews clearly calls the Son of God, God. God says to his Son, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." So if anyone ever says that Jesus is not God, refer them back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. The writer attributes to him the words of the work of creating the universe. "The heavens are the work of your hands." And then he draws out the implications in verse 12 for the creation, which seems so stable and permanent and changeless, will in fact, as he writes, be changed like old clothing, but you are always the same and you will live forever. So the sameness of Jesus Christ is the sameness that comes from being the eternal God. Opening the letter with the supremacy of God's Son, writes in verse 3, "The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command." The anchor that we were singing about last week, "Will Your Anchor Hold?" The anchor of stability that the world craves is God. And Jesus Christ is God. We talk about it in the word, the immutability of God, a word meaning an attribute that God is unchanging in his character and will and covenant promises. Throughout the Old Testament, we are reminded that God never changes. In Malachi, it says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." And in 1 Samuel 15, it says, "Also the glory of Israel will not lie or change, for he is not a man that he should change his mind." But we know, if we know our Bibles, that there are texts where it appears that God does change his mind, which is why we often need to read the Bible with a study guide or a commentary and not just read it with our human eyes. In the passage that I picked from 1 Samuel, the word to change his mind is the same word that means regret or repent. It says, I regret, or I repent, or I change my mind, that I have made Saul king. Now, if you know the story of Israel wanting a king and what happened with Saul, you can kind of see why God regretted and changed his mind. Verse 35, and the Lord regretted or repented or changed his mind that he made Saul king over Israel. And if we think about that simply, God's changes are not like humankind's changes. Changing from God is from one situation to another, but not the kind of changing that a human mind would do. Because we remember that God already knows what's going to happen before it happens. We don't, do we? No matter how many times we procrastinate, how many eventualities we think could happen, we actually don't know what the outcome's going to be until it's happened. But God knows what's going to happen. He knows what we're going to do before we do it. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. Sometimes you think to yourself, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. And God's going up there going, yeah, told you. Actually, God's much better than us. But you know, when you get those little promptings to perhaps keep your mouth shut, as we often do, perhaps it's a good idea that we do keep our mouth shut. Or if God says, I want you to say that, and we go, I don't think so, God. God is actually giving us those promptings that he wants us to do one thing or another. But for God himself, God knows what's going to happen before it already happens. God responds to differing situations and behaviours in different ways. He rejoices over some behaviours and disapproves of others. Some he reprimands and some he shows his mercy. And we do thank God for that. God is God. He also foresees our changes and knows the perfect response to each change and plans to respond according to his own perfect wisdom and righteousness and power to maintain his plan and his purposes for the world. And that is not the way, as we can see from the chaos and the mess that the world is in, that humans respond. Humankind cannot see the bigger picture. God gives us a glimpse and encourages us to join in with his plan and his purposes. How we respond to that opportunity depends on our choices. But God remains constant and changeless. What makes God God and not human is that he does not change his mind because of unforeseen circumstances. That's the significance of the verses that I've read to you from Hebrews. And it's vital that we comprehend this blessing in our lives. The verse is meant to be a powerful incentive to live in a certain way, despite the changes in years and in seasons and even the chaos in which we often live, because we have lost sight of God's faithfulness and who Jesus is. So then what is significant about the three time periods, yesterday, today, and forever? Why does it matter that the Jesus Christ of today be the same as the Jesus Christ of yesterday and of tomorrow? Thankfully, somebody's written a commentary that helpfully says, yesterday. It is crucial that Jesus Christ be the same yesterday as he is today, because yesterday is when Jesus showed us in history what he is really like. Today. It is crucial that Jesus Christ be the same today as he was yesterday, because today is where we have fellowship with him and relate to him as the person we know by reading about his life and his work yesterday. Tomorrow. It is crucial that Jesus Christ be the same tomorrow as he was yesterday and today, because all our hope for everlasting joy hangs ultimately on relating to him and not just his gifts. So if you've got nothing else to think about later, just write down in your heads why it's important that Jesus is the same to you yesterday, today, and forever. Thinking about what you knew about Jesus yesterday, what you know about him today, and what your hope is through him for tomorrow. We also need to remember that when we meet a person and not an event. God has chosen that we know Jesus Christ and God in and through Christ. By reading about him in his word, the Bible that records his life and work from yesterday, we do not need or want new teaching. As the Revelation says, the Bible is complete. We cannot add to it. But we do need to understand what we have. Not head knowledge, but heart knowledge. That constant pulse in our chaos. And what we know about him from yesterday enables us to know him personally and relationally now by the power of his Holy Spirit. The Spirit takes the things of Christ and makes them real and personal and present and powerful and precious in our lives now. This historical Christ, who is the Christ, as we read over Christmas, of grace and truth, whom we have come now to know and to love and rejoice, is the Christ that we will increasingly know and enjoy forever, if he is the same forever. And that's why forever is important, the same truth and the same treasure. Receive him and have life in all its fullness. He came so that we may have life and be free. In a world of constant change, we can trust the unchanging Christ. How do we know that we are in tune with God? How do we live to his rhythm and strive to do the best that we can? Our metronome is our hearts. And yes, they can physically speed up or slow down depending on what's going on in our lives. But let's get our physical in tune and our spiritual through the power of the Holy Spirit, who is transforming us minute by minute. Isn't it reassuring to remember now that the one who created us, who breathed life into us, is beating to a regular pulse right now in you and in me? God works best in our lives when we daily tune in to his rhythm, his constant, unchangeable pulse, and that we would do life with him, whose love and grace are unchanging. We sang earlier, "Now my heart's desire is to know you more." Let's give God his time back to make that even more of a reality. The word of God remains true. Draw close to Jesus Christ, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let's pray. God's promises are yes in Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you that your goodness and grace towards us is unchanging and unchangeable. We thank you for the many promises that are so precious, contained in your word, and for the blessed hope for which we look forward when you will return in glory. Amen. Now, you know how much I like Godsidences, so I usually submit the hymns to the audio and to the organ personage sometime on Friday, which I did. And then Saturday morning, the verse for the day pinged onto my phone screen, and it was 1 Timothy 6 verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. And so for anybody who's found the next hymn, We are going to sing Fight the Good Fight. But it continues in the Bible, take hold of the eternal life to which you are called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And I think that's the confirmation and affirmation that Christ is my strength and yours, my all in all, as it says. Thanks, Joe. Let's pray. Have no fear. Christ has overcome the world. Have no doubt. He has promised to be with you. Have no anxiety. He is Lord, and we shall share his joy, his life, his love, and his victory. Go in the strength of the Lord and be blessed. Amen. Just want to be seated briefly. I did send out an email in the week, and I'm aware that some are not on email, that Vera's funeral will be on the 7th of February at 2:45 at the crematorium, followed by refreshments here. If you're intending to go to one or the other or both, can you let me know, please? And also, if you have any memories of Vera, do not tell me about Vera tarts. I have that written down, locked and loaded, ready to go. But any of your precious memories of Vera and the time that we spent with her, if you could just email them over to me, that would be great in time for the service. Thank you.